Welcome to another edition of CFTV Live. I am Adam Gray, joined as always by our resident expert in basketball, Jared Stansberry. How you doing, Jared?
That really means a lot, Adam. You know what that means? That means you should let me come be your assistant coach for
turn the page, Jared.
For third and fourth grade basketball.
You know what? I'll have you come.
I got another job offer today, so you've got to jump on it quick.
From a guy whose team beat me, I guess.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
See, so he's just trying to make this is the difference between you and the other coaches. They're not okay with just okay. They want to take being okay, and then they want to be great. So they're like, what do we have to do to be great? We got to go get another great basketball mind. So he approached me, wants me to come help coach the team. Whereas you're okay basketball mind. You're like, okay, my team's okay. And I'm okay with being average. So I'm not going to try and make my team better.
Are you done with this little rant of yours?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can come to practice tonight and you can help work on layups, because that is just a glaring weakness right now. I think we probably missed more layups than Iowa State, believe it or not. I didn't know if it was possible, but our third and fourth grade team did miss more layups.
Well, that does make sense because they are in the third and fourth grade.
9-foot hoop, though, you know, 28.5 ball. It should be
easy. It's seriously a 9-foot hoop?
Yeah.
Can you dunk?
Can I dunk?
Yeah.
A 9-foot hoop?
Yeah.
Dude, my vertical right now, Woodbury would be embarrassed by this vertical of mine. I might be able to dunk a 9-foot. I don't know. I haven't really tried.
Well, I'm coming to practice tonight. We're going to find out.
All right. Come. You can help.
I can come.
Sure. I'll put you in the corner and I'll have you work like two kids at a time. It'll be great.
We'll work on the post moves.
Dude, I think you need to slow down a little bit and realize what we're working with here. Okay. We're just trying to work with dribbling. And then if you pick up the ball, not dribbling again.
Oh, like, okay.
We're still working on very, very basics.
Do they understand not to travel anymore?
Most kids do. You know, it's funny. The officials, and I'm not killing the officials. It's hard to officiate a third and fourth grade game.
Yeah.
For the first, like, two games, they would not call travels or double dribbles or anything. And it would kind of drive me crazy because, to me, that's the only way they learn.
Yeah.
You got to call it on them. Otherwise, if I tell them in practice you can't do that, they think, well, why? I can do it in the game. The refs don't call me for it. This last game, they did call it a little bit more. Not great, but I like seeing that. So – they're starting to learn. Some kids get it, but some kids who it might be their first or second year ever playing, they still will dribble, pick up, wait, look to pass, and dribble again.
Don't you know that basketball is now football on hardwood? You just pick the ball up and run?
Oh, yeah. That's the thing, too. I had a kid on the team say, I saw Kansas guy run down the court without dribbling once. Why can't I do this, coach? And you know what I say to him? I say, good point. I said, go play for Bill Self then.
What was that kid? What was that kid doing up at 10 o'clock at night to see that play?
It's all over SportsCenter, man.
Yeah, fair enough.
The kid's watching Twitter, and he's seeing these vines and everything.
Wait, why does a fourth grader have Twitter?
Dude, do you know what time it is? I mean, it's 2017. My kid doesn't have Twitter, but a lot of kids have Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter at this age.
My kid won't have Instagram in fourth grade.
You know who Snapchats me the most? I don't Snapchat at all, but I receive them. My third grade niece.
Really?
She probably 18 times
a day. Does she have her own account, or is it on somebody else's account?
Her own account.
Wow.
Yep. And they're typically nothing. They're just random. They're pictures of her with, like, the time. It just tells me the time.
That sounds like what you would probably Snapchat.
I don't even know what I would Snapchat. I think I've Snapchatted, like, when we were in Julie and I were in Napa, I think I Snapchatted a couple.
I'm pretty sure I have you as a Snapchat friend. I've seen your Snap stories before.
I've done a couple.
Yeah.
Nothing too special.
Yeah. You should send a Snapchat the next time you're at an Iowa State basketball game. Like you were the other night on Saturday. I saw you there.
Yeah, I was there.
You and Cheezer. Yeah.
Cheezer, yeah. I actually went down with my brother and all his buddies, too. It's one of his birthdays. So we went, had some drinks and before the game and had a good time.
There you go.
It's always fun to watch Iowa State win.
Yeah, definitely. No kidding. I think that there's some people that are giving Iowa State a little bit of unwarranted heat. I don't know what you think, but I think Texas is going to be pretty good by the end of the season.
I think they'll be battling for last with Oklahoma. To be honest with you, I mean, I shouldn't say last. I think they'll be in the 8-9 area.
I think they'll be in that range, but I still think they're a team that you don't want to see come up on your schedule just because of the athletes that they have, and they still have some guys that are shot makers, you know.
Yeah.
Like they seem like they're on the edge of being able to figure it out to where they can be scary enough to beat somebody. Well, and that's the other thing about the Big 12. It's like, okay, you're in 10th, but the Big 12's good.
Yep.
And it's like, then you could still beat somebody.
That was my point, is 8-9-10 this year for the Big 12 is not the same as it used to be.
Yeah.
Where Texas Tech and TCU, they're winning two Big 12 games a year. You could just go ahead and circle two victories. There's not really – at home, Iowa State's not going to lose to Texas or Oklahoma or those teams. But on the road, there's no gimmies. Mm-hmm. There's not one. There's not one where you can just circle and say, Iowa State will definitely win that game.
Oklahoma without Jordan Woodard might be a gimme.
they should win that game. I don't know if I would say gimme. I just – I don't know.
That game's not for a couple weeks. Or is that next week?
Will he be back? Or
I'm not sure. That's why I don't know. Yeah, I know that Kansas plays them tonight, and he won't be playing. So
where's that at? Oklahoma?
It's at Oklahoma, yeah.
Yeah. Name your score on that one. They're bad.
Bad. They are really bad.
Without
him. I don't feel like they don't have anybody that can really score. Yeah.
Back to Iowa State fans, you think are being a little too harsh on the Cyclones. You know, people probably listening to the Fallcast last week thought I was one that was too harsh, and I get it, and I'll, you know, I won't back down from the comments. Where my whole point is, and I caught a little flack again today, is I think this Iowa State team, for them to be successful, they have to share the ball, not so much ISO, especially late game situations. Mm-hmm. When you have a lead with all the seniors that Iowa State has, up 6, 5 minutes to go, I think anything other than a win can be looked at as not a positive. That was kind of my point. I thought we saw a much better job against Texas. At the end of the game, they still let the clock kind of run down a little bit,
yeah.
But they got the ball inside, got some good looks, even for three-pointers, which I'm sure you're going to show a couple of us here, mm-hmm. a couple of plays. Do you agree? I mean, the ball movement was a lot better.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think the ball movement was a lot better. And I think that as we've seen the continued like evolution of this four-guard lineup, and you've seen guys like Nick Babb and Donovan Jackson continue to get more and more run, especially Donovan Jackson, he's a guy I really like because he doesn't seem very worried about hunting his own shot. Like, he can shoot, but at the same time, he's more looking to he's looking to pass, and then he's looking to try and defend on the other end. There's one play in particular that I'm going to show where Monte brought the ball down the floor, and then he passed it off to Donovan Jackson kind of at the free throw line.
Right back to him.
Yeah, and he got the defender to kind of come up on him, and then he pitched it right back to Monte for a layup. And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. There was even a situation in the Baylor game where they were on a fast break. Somebody shuffled it off to Donovan, and they're right under the lane. He needed to just lay it right in, and instead he shuffled it back to somebody else, and I think they ended up getting – I don't know if they got fouled or what happened, but they didn't score in that little sequence.
Well, a foul is like a turnover for Iowa State right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're making a joke as far as how bad their free throw shooting is.
Oh, well, yeah, essentially. But, I mean, they're so good at not turning the ball over. I think they lead the nation in turnover percentage right now. So that's one of the things I like about that four-guard lineup is they're really good at taking care of the ball, but at the same time, they've done such a good job of being able to get out and transition, and at the same time, they force turnovers on the other end.
So I'm skipping ahead many games here, but how do you think Iowa State matches up with West Virginia then? Because they're going to press you, but Iowa State's got a lot of guards they can put in there. They don't turn the ball over at all, pretty much what you're saying. Do you think Iowa State matches up with West Virginia better than any other team in the Big 12?
I would say that they have to be up there just because of their ability to take care of the basketball. And it doesn't seem like they really get flustered under pressure in those situations. I mean, we saw that one game against Iowa when they got into some situations where it's like they got put themselves in bad spots in the corners and stuff like that. But with West Virginia, you're going to be prepared for that on every single possession. And I just don't see those situations where if you've got Monte Morris and Donovan Jackson out there on the floor, those are two guys that are really smart with the ball. They're really good at taking care of it. And I don't see some of those situations where you've seen West Virginia be able to, especially against like TCU, where they would throw the ball repeatedly into the corner. Like, that's just such a rookie move against West Virginia's press, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I just don't see them making mistakes like that some of these other teams have gotten themselves into, where they get going too fast, because that's what the West Virginia press is about as much as anything, is it's just trying to speed you up. And once you start speeding up, that's when your thinking starts speeding up, and they want you to think faster than you can actually operate. You know what I mean?
I get what you mean. It's funny. I always think you said don't want to speed up against the West Virginia press, and I get that. I always thought if you could get by them, you want to continue to push it.
And if you can get by them, but I'm saying initially, you want to be able to get the ball, and then you want to be able – you want to be processing what you're doing and not moving faster than what you can think.
Completely agree. Yeah. If you can get a Burton ball in the middle, and then you can go with it, that's when you can get a lot of buckets.
Exactly. If you can get into a situation where you've got Naz Long and Matt Thomas on one wing, and then you've got Deontay Burton catches the ball around the half court line, and all of a sudden it's 3-on-2, that's attack all day long, and that's easy buckets.
Yep.
And that's what I think that we're going to see when they play against West Virginia. I don't know when that is. That's probably in a couple weeks. But
yeah.
That will be one of those things that I think Iowa State will be able to exploit once they get into that situation up against West Virginia.
You like how I just jumped ahead? Like, we're not even talking about Oklahoma State, TCU. We got Kansas coming up on Big Monday here.
Yeah.
Going straight to West Virginia.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting even against Oklahoma State. They're a team that really likes to get out and run. So mm-hmm. I think there will be some situations for Iowa State to do that as well. But it's going to be interesting because Iowa State is so good. They're really good at, like, they get out and run, but at the same time, they're selective about when they want to get out and run, so to where that they get baskets almost every time that they do it. That's one of the things that really impresses me about the way they get out and transition.
It is going to be interesting, though, because like you said, Oklahoma State's tempo is, you know, is up, I think, maybe top 25 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State has
Evans is as good at playing with tempos, any player in college basketball.
I did see, though, he's a turnover machine.
Oh, he is, and that's the other thing I was going to mention. I think that that's something that Iowa State's really going to be able to exploit. They forced 17 turnovers against Baylor and 19 against Texas, and I think those were both season highs for both teams. So it's like Evans is a guy that gets a little bit loose with his passes. Sometimes he might get a little bit loose with the ball. A guy like Donovan Jackson, if he can get out there and he can really hound him, I don't know that he might put himself into a position where – you know, he hasn't seen many guards like that this season. North Carolina was a game where they got up against a really good guard court, and they got smoked. And that was one of their first games early in the season where it was like, okay, maybe Oklahoma State, we got to take a step back. They might not be as good as it seemed like they were early on in the season. And that's why I think that Iowa State matches up well with Oklahoma State. I think they match up well with TCU, too, because I just don't think they can handle the pressure that well in their guard corps. They've got some freshmen that Jalen Fisher's, he got flustered at West Virginia the other day. You know, it will be on the road in Fort Worth, but I still think that's a game that Iowa State can win.
Jalen Fisher, isn't that a guy that Prohm and staff was after before he committed to TCU? Didn't they offer him? Is he from, like, the Tennessee area?
I'm not for sure. I thought he was going to Pittsburgh until Jamie Dixon went to TCU.
TCU?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's right.
The name just all of a sudden kind of rang a bell in my head. Like, I thought Iowa State was after him. I don't think they're ever overly, you know,
in
attention.
I mean, he was a big time
recruit. He was
recruit.
A four-star. Top 100 kid, yeah. No, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, Iowa State's had success the last couple years down in Stillwater. But, you know, historically, it's been a place where Iowa State's gone and just lost a lot of heartbreakers. And this Oklahoma State team is 0-3 now in Big 12 play. Mm-hmm. They're desperate for a win. I think they got a great coach. I think it's a guy who's going to turn that program back around to, you know, I don't know if it's going to be quite as good as it used to be, but I think he's going to turn it back into a top 25 team you know, every other year or so.
They're going to have it better than Travis Ford did, at least.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know if he'll ever recruit quite to Travis Ford's level, but you don't have to.
Right.
You just got to coach.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see even for next year. I mean, will Evans come back? You know, he's a guy that's obviously had a really good season, and I think even after his freshman year, people were wondering if he was going to be able to jump up to the NBA. So
didn't he get hurt, though, at the end of last year?
Yeah, he did.
That hurt him a little bit.
But he sat out a lot of last year, and then that was 2 years ago. That I don't think Steve Prohm's ever coached against Juwan Evans.
I think you're right.
Yeah, he hasn't.
He didn't play last year. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see how this team responds. And, you know, one of those two games, maybe even both of them, they're going to come down to last 4 minutes again.
Mm-hmm.
And is Iowa State going to be able to get good, clean looks like they did against Texas? Or is it going to be kind of what we saw against Baylor, Cincinnati, Gonzaga, where they're really struggling in the half court when they're trying to slow it down?
Yeah, and I think – and this is something that I've always felt, is that the first 4 minutes and the last 4 minutes of each half, I mean, those are the – two most important segments of the entire game, especially the first 4 minutes. If you can set the tone in the first 4 minutes of the first half, first 4 minutes of the second half, those are really when you can kind of be like set yourself as the aggressor. You know what I mean?
Put the tempo exactly how you want the tempo to be.
Exactly.
Played.
If you can come out and you can be the guy that's pushing the pace and you're setting it the tempo how you want it to be, that's how you can really set the tone for what it's going to be later on in the game. And I think that's really one of the most important segments of an entire game to win, especially coming out of halftime. That first 4 minutes of the second half, that's always a really important segment of the game to win.
I agree. Are you ready to jump back up here and we'll take a look at some of these clips that you pulled up for us?
Yeah, for sure.
What do you want to start off with today, Jared?
All right, I want to start with it's a double in the post.
A double in the post. Why are these not pulling up for me, Jared? I know I got them here.
It's the wrong application that we were in right there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, QuickTime. I'm sorry. I wonder. So we want double in the post.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So Jared Allen right here, top 20 recruit last season for the Longhorns, one of the top power forwards in the class of 2016. Just run it through one time.
All right, Jared, I'm painting that on this too just because the other camera was a little bit blurry.
Okay.
So if you want to just take one half step there, perfect.
This is something that Iowa State did pretty effectively against Baylor, and they did it really effectively on Saturday against Texas. They forced him into 7 turnovers. So they're going to bring this double right here, and that's the difference between what you're going to see in high school basketball and in college basketball. Jared Allen, a lot of times, is going to catch that ball kind of in that that pinch post area. And back in high school ball, you just back that guy down, and they're going to let you back him down all the way into the lane, shoot a little hook shot, and you're going to get it easy. Whereas right here, Iowa State brings a hard double with Deontay Burton, and just the physicality of the guy that is initially guarding him, plus you bring in that double against a true freshman, it's really hard for him to be able to react to this and be able to do anything right here to try and counteract it.
This looks like good communication, too, because obviously when Burton comes, they've been practicing this because right away Monte notices it.
Yeah.
And Monte kind of seals off number 32 here.
Well, I think they're waiting for him. Yeah, they're waiting for him to put the ball on the floor.
Yeah.
So that's a situation where their game plan was once he puts the ball on the deck, go. Yep. Go as hard as you can, and we're going to try and get it out of his hands as fast as possible, which is something I really like for Iowa State when you don't have that size advantage. These big guys aren't as comfortable with the ball in their hands dribbling it when you've got two guys as compared to maybe a 6'2", 6'3" guard. Jared Allen's 6'11".
Yeah.
You know, so when you think about a guy like Jonathan Motley, he's going to be better in a situation like that, just being a junior that's seen a lot of Big 12 basketball. But right here, he gets the ball, and then once Deontay comes, he tries to make his move. It's not there. Oh, crap. What do I do with the ball? I just got to get rid of it. And then it turns into an easy layup for Iowa State.
So you obviously played a lot of posts in high school and college. This is an example of something that Iowa State did really well, doubling them there. In the second half, Texas had a lot of success sealing down low, and Iowa State didn't have an answer. Bowie's just a little too small. And I mean, nothing against his effort, but sometimes you're just going to lose because the guy's bigger than you if he gets positioned.
Yeah.
What could Iowa State have done differently? You know what I'm talking about there in the second half? They had about four possessions in a row where they really got good inside position and hurt Iowa State.
A lot of that is just, as much as anything, it's just doing your work early. That's something that my college coaches would always talk about. It's doing your work early. Do it before the ball is one pass away. So a good post player, he's setting up his man for the pass that's two passes away to be able to get his position and get the seal. So, for instance, if I'm right here on the right block, the ball's over there, and your man's in help defense right here, and you start to see that swing, before he can even move over, you're moving into the middle of the lane to try and plow him right underneath the rim, and then you're in the middle of the lane, and it's like, boom, right there, and then you lay it in right over your head. It's so much easier to just get position right there if you're doing your work early, and that's something he did a lot better of doing a good job of in the second half. And I think that's something that Shaka Smart really has wanted to push with him all season long, is getting the ball close to the rim. And then even in situations where you get out in transition, you know, if he's rim running and you see the guy that's playing defense on you is just kind of backing up, okay, that's when you plant your foot right hard, right in between his, spin, open up, boom, right there, easy layup. That's just good job of being able to get position. On the defensive side, it's the same thing. You've got to do your work early, and you have to know that guy's trying to bury you underneath the rim. And that.
So I got a personnel question for you, right? So at the end of the game there, Iowa State went small ball quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Bowie was the big guy in for majority of the end of the game there. If you're the coach, are you okay with giving up those easy buckets knowing that they're having just as much problem stopping you at the other end? Because that was the only question I ever had. Iowa State did a lot of good things. I kept thinking we're going to see Solomon Young in here just because they were getting some easy buckets. Steve decided not to go that way. But the good thing is Iowa State was scoring at the other end. So they were just kind of going back and forth there towards the end of that game.
Well, I think the thing especially with a guy like Jared Allen, he's not very good at guarding on the perimeter. So if you can get a guy like Darryl Bowie out into some space.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw multiple times where they put him in the corner and then Bowie just drove right by him. Yep. I mean, it was easy for him to be able to get to the lane, just as easy as it was for Allen to be able to bury him deep and get a bucket right there at the lane. So, I do think it's kind of just a trade-off that you accept, and it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, we're having trouble guarding him down here, but he's having just as much trouble guarding us as on the other end.
Yep. And then at the same time, hopefully you don't get sealed down low so early to where you can't have the help defense like he just showed here, because he's catching the ball a little bit further out.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay, perfect. What do you want to look at next?
Let's go to – all right, I want to talk about Nick Babb. There's one where he goes, Babb coast to coast. So I think that Nick Babb is – really been of this four guard lineup, I think he's kind of been the catalyst of it. You've seen some of those situations where they've really been able to get out and run really, really well. It's when he's been in there playing the four. He's so active on defense, for one. His length just it causes a lot of problems regardless of how tall a guy is. And at the same time, he's so good at being able to grab the rebound and push the ball himself, and then he makes good decisions with it on the other end. So play this one right here. This is good defensive possession by Iowa State, first of all. Get a pick and roll. Shaq clear. Has to take a goofy floater. So
not his strength.
Right. So nobody stops the ball right here with Nick Babb. That's just a good job of recognizing that, and that's like, I'm going all the way. I'm getting a bucket.
Aggressive Nick Babb is my favorite Nick Babb.
Yep, I agree 100%.
When he's aggressive, whew, he's a heck of a ball player.
Well, I think the way that Monte put it was when he stays woke is when he's really playing well.
What does woke mean, Jared?
That's a good question. But when he stays woke is when he's really getting out there and he's really playing well. So
we saw it in the second half against Texas Tech. He was the aggressor in that half too, mm-hmm. and it was a big difference. So I agree with you. When he plays like that, Iowa State's a different team.
Right, and that's just a situation where he grabs the rebound, and it's as much as anything, it's just recognizing, okay, nobody stopped the ball. I'm going all the way to the rim, and if anybody does step in front of me, I'm either, one, going to get fouled, or I'm going to be able to dish it out to a three-pointer to, I think it was Matt and Naz that were in the corners for an easy three. No, it looks like it was Donovan. Yeah. See? So right there, if that number one probably should have stepped up, or the guy that tried to take the charge should have stepped up earlier to try and stop the ball instead of trying to make a lame attempt at trying to take a charge.
And if someone does step up here and stop the ball, you got Naz back cut, and he could have just dished it right there to him as well too.
So yeah.
Good all around. All right, what do you want to go to next?
Let's do
Donovan Jackson extra pass?
Yep. All right, so this is the play that I talked about before with Donovan. This came right after Kerwin Roach tried to dunk it on somebody and threw it right into the rim, put himself on his butt.
You've been there before, Jared.
Yeah, I have. Okay, so Monte pushes this one out, and then you see Donovan just gets that defender to commit just a little bit, and then you slip the pass right there real quick back to Monte for an easy layup.
Just a mini shot fake is all mm-hmm. that was.
Yep. And that's just easy. I mean, that's really nothing. There's not really any offense. It's not really anything except for just making a good read and seeing that this guy committed up too hard to me in a way from Monte, and Monte's so good at finishing at the rim. Easy dip, dump off, easy layup.
Very just unselfish basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing I like about Donovan. It doesn't seem like he really cares about anything except for defending and making sure that Iowa State scores when he's in the game.
All right.
Do the other extra pass one. This was one of my favorite possessions Iowa State's had all season.
Okay, second half, 17-11 to go.
Force a contested three in transition. But right here, I mean, it's not really anything except, you know, they do their normal little action with some screens right here. This is a good job by Deontay. Get a piece of the paint, draw everybody in, and then you get some shot fakes. And just that's two extra passes right there. You know, you could have taken the first three on the wing. It's probably open, but it wasn't a great shot. Bowie could have taken the shot. It's a good shot, but it's not a great one. That's a great shot that you get. He just takes one dribble or shot fake, one dribble, easy dump off for an easy lay-in. That's unselfish basketball.
That was one play that got me out of my seat. I was very happy to see that. That's Iowa State playing its best right there. Like, and I know I've hit this before. They can't win on just going ISO mm-hmm. and beating everyone. Deontay Burton can at times, but it gets a little difficult.
Yeah.
When they can do this, Iowa State's tough to guard for anybody in the country.
And you see, too, I mean, Deontay had to drive into the lane, but when they started attacking, like actually attacking the hoop on that possession, there was, maybe five dribbles total?
Yeah. Yep.
And most of them were on Deontay just getting the piece of the paint on the initial attack.
Yep.
That's what Iowa State needs to be able to do, because when they get the ball whipping around with the pass, they are so tough to defend, and that's what makes – that's one of the best things about basketball really in general with the pass is if you can get the ball moving and whipping around fast, it's so hard for a defense to be able to recover in a situation like that. This is the final possession that Iowa State had of the first half. I really like this one just because it's a good job by Monte of recognizing that the personnel that he's got right here guarding against Deontay with Shaq Clair. He recognized on that first one that Shaq's a little bit – he's slow with getting back on that pick and pop, and it's okay. Boom. Don't have it that first time. All right, we're going to do it again. Kick it to him. Open three.
And that's really bad defense by Shaq Clair.
Yeah. Really, really bad defense.
But it's smart. They recognized the Mitch. They recognized he wasn't getting back, and they just went one extra. And that was a big shot for Iowa State momentum-wise to the end of the half.
Definitely. I think that's everything.
No, you got Thomas Dagger.
Oh, okay. So this might be Deontay Burton's best play that he's made all season long.
All season?
Yeah. It's up there. It was at a big point in the game. I mean, this was a point where it's still like, you know, Texas maybe can hang tough with it and they can hang in here for this last minute. But right here was just kind of that point where it's like, all right, Iowa State's got this game.
Yep, I agree.
But it's really it's easy. He just drives baseline on Allen, gets the defender to draw into the lane, and then Matt Thomas does what he does best and hit the three.
So I asked you to do this, and obviously, you know, timing-wise, it didn't work out. I wanted a comparison of Matt Thomas's three he shot here and the one Nash shot at the end of that Baylor game, and just the difference in looks for Iowa State. When the ball is coming from the inside to a shooter on the outside where they're already faced up shooting, how much – I mean, it's a lot easier for a shooter to make that shot rather than when you're just passing around the key. Mm-hmm. I think both shot with about 3 seconds on the shot clock, so it wasn't – I mean – how long Iowa State took to work it around was about the same, but just the difference in looks rather than it coming from just outside, turning and facing up versus the inside.
Well, another thing I think people sometimes don't think about, have you ever seen the guns that they use, the things that you shoot into?
Yeah.
And then that's like a really like natural way that, you know, mm-hmm. they pass it right back out and you shoot it.
Yeah.
I think these guys use those a lot. So that it seems like one of those things where it's like, oh man, I'm just standing in the suka, catch it off the gun and shoot it. And that's that you're exactly right. When you can catch it just standing forward already and you just turn and you shoot,
you're in rhythm.
You're already in rhythm. You don't have to turn. You don't have to get your shoulder set. You don't really have to set your feet. You just step into the shot and you let it go.
Your eyes are already looking at the hoop. And yeah. Plus these guys too, they have the managers go rebound for them a lot too. We're the rebounder. They're standing right underneath the hoop, just passing it back to them. Those shots right there for the end of the game, if Iowa State got that look against Cincinnati, Gonzaga, or Baylor, I think Iowa State has one or two more wins. Mm-hmm. That right there is what they need to do.
And that's just another situation where that mismatch with the smaller guy in the post against a guy like Jared Allen at 6'11", you are able to attack him and force his help defender to come. And if the help defender doesn't come, that's either a dunk or a layup for Deontay Burton. So it's just it's a good play by him to recognize the help defender, make a nice pass, and get it for a three.
Yeah.
And it came at a big point in the game, too.
It did. That you're right. That was 100% the dagger. Once he hit that, the game was over.
Yeah.
Nice. So what obviously Iowa State plays tomorrow. They're playing Oklahoma State, a team that needs a victory. How do you foresee the game going? You got a prediction?
I think Iowa State's going to win. I think it's going to be a close one, but I think that it's going to maybe be one of the more high-scoring games that Iowa State's played this season just because of the way that Oklahoma State likes to get out and push the tempo.
Citadel withstanding.
Well, yeah, Citadel and Savannah State as well.
Yeah. I think Iowa State matches up really well on the road. I think Iowa State's going to win, but I'll be honest, every time we go play in Stillwater, part of me just thinks we're going to lose a heartbreaker. And I know that's kind of changed ever since Naz hit that three with DeAndre Kane passing that extra pass. Mm-hmm. Kind of things have changed down there in Stillwater. But I also have 20 years of history of watching Iowa State lose games, and I thought they were going to win down there too. So, X-Factor.
I think it's going to – I mean, it's got to continue to be Deontay probably. I feel like the whole season it's going to be Deontay. Just because when he's played well is when they've really played well. But I just feel like that's got to be the thing where he has to be active.
Okay.
And even if he's not scoring that many points, he has to be active as a passer. He has to be active at getting to the lane.
So I looked up stats today too, and I'm not trying to kill the person. I just want to ask you a question if you think anything's going to change going forward. Last eight games, Merrill Holden, who started the season for Iowa State, last eight games, he's got 6 points and 6 rebounds. So he's averaging 0.75 points and rebounds per game. I don't think he's made one field goal in those last eight games, and he did not play at all against Texas. Is this one of those things where they're just slowly, he's just kind of almost off the rotation, he's done for good, or do you think maybe they're giving him a couple games, trying to get him right in practice, and you'll see him be a bigger impact as we get further into Big 12 play?
I think that Prohm's going to shorten the rotation. And I think that's not really even as much as anything about Merle not producing as much as it is. I mean, it is about
but at the same time,
it's about it's just about shortening the rotation and getting the guys that are producing the minutes that they need. The guys like Solomon Young, who's when he's been in there, has played really well. The guys like Daryl Bowie has played well. And it's like, why would we put Holden out there if he's not going to give us anything offensively or give us really anything defensively at the same time?
Or rebounding.
Yeah.
Like I said, 6 rebounds in 8 games. And granted, he's not playing tons of minutes. I mean, some of those games he's playing 3-5 minutes.
Right. I think he played 3 against Baylor.
Baylor. But still, I mean, I think overall he's played 40 minutes in those 8 games, and to get 6 rebounds for a guy for a guy that needs to be mm-hmm. one of your main rebounders isn't good enough.
Yeah. So I think this is just a situation of Prohm shortening the rotation, and I think it's something that's going to continue as we go forward.
And he's going to stay.
And I think he's going to play this 4-guard lineup more and more. And I just don't feel like. Merle doesn't fit in with that as well as Solomon and Daryl do.
You might see Merle like in the in half situations, right? Especially mm-hmm. if Iowa State's got a little foul trouble with Bowie or Young, and they need to just put someone in there for the last minute to get a stop. You might see him in there.
It's crazy to imagine that he would be the one that goes in when somebody's in foul trouble.
I know. Yeah, that's a good point. I thought you were going to say just because he was a starter. You know, it's not very often you see a starter for the first seven games go to not playing at all. Percy Gibson, I guess, a little bit during Niang's freshman year.
I would say that probably had more to do with who was behind him than it did did with Percy.
There's no George Niang behind Holden.
Well, no. No, definitely not.
So you have Iowa State winning by 40.
Yeah, you're on record. Not 40, but I do think that they're going to win on Wednesday. I actually think they're going to win on Saturday as well.
That would be big if they could sweep these two road games.
Yeah.
Huge, actually.
What do you think?
I think they split it.
You think they split it? Which one do they lose?
I don't know. I'm not going to go out and make that prediction. I just think
you're the guy that's always pushing me to be on record about my predictions, and then you're not going to make a prediction.
You're the one in the hot seat. I'm the one asking questions.
Fair enough.
I can do that this time. I just, you know, winning the Big 12 on the road is really difficult, especially this year. If Iowa State gets both of them here, that would be huge. I think they're going to probably be underdogs in both of them by one or two points. They're going to be close, but I mean they're going to be underdogs.
So Ken Pom has them as essentially as toss-ups.
Pick 'em game, maybe 1 point favorite, 1 point underdog. You do that on the road, and you can get both of those wins. I think when we meet here next week, which I won't be here, by the way, you got to find someone to do this with you. We'll be a lot happier.
I'm gonna get.
There's three games between now and when we do the next one.
Yeah, I should get Jeff Woody in here.
Yeah, have Woody come in and do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be down in Orlando.
What are you gonna do? Are you going to Disney World?
I think so. We weren't sure if we're going to or not. We're taking the kids, but I think we're going to make a day, one of the Tuesday or Wednesday, we're going to go to Disney World.
Are you going to take him to Epcot?
I don't know. My wife plans everything, man. She just tells me where to go.
Take him to Epcot instead of the Magic Kingdom. Make it an educational trip.
Jake needs a little education. Owen probably could stand to be cultured a little bit. So, yeah, maybe I'll take him to Epcot.
There you go.
We'll see.
Yeah, there you go.
But awesome. Well, thanks a lot. Jared, anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. I'm good.
You're good. All right. Well, we'll see everyone here next week. We'll have three games. Got Kansas on Big Monday as well. So a lot to talk about.
Definitely.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, everybody.